Overcoming Fear Virus. That's not the fear of the virus, it's the fear virus. And so we're going to take a look at that this morning, and we're going to learn more about fear. And one of the things that I think that God has a sense of humor, I really do. At the beginning of this year, I was listening to a podcast, and in the podcast, the person was recommending that you pray over a word that God would give you. And I did that. And then they said to write down that word in a place that you're going to see it every day. And so I have this whiteboard that I have in my office. And I wrote down the word. And here is my word. Peace. Peace for 2020. That's kind of I think God's got a sense of humor there. Peace. I couldn't believe it after a couple of months, or I should say a few months of 2020. Peace. It's an interesting word. But I'm glad that he gave me that word, because I'll be honest with you, one of the things that God has put in my heart is peace. Now, I'm not going to pretend like I've been doing this perfectly, you guys. There's been nights that I'm awake, worried about what's going on and trying to understand all the complexities of the world and the current events. But I always am able to come back to peace. And so I want to share with you what God has been showing me about fear. The first thing I want to say is that fear has biological, behavioral, cognitive, and social roots. And when we look at fear, you know, when we think about what is fear, literally, in terms of our biology and how we are created, how God created us, we in our brains, we have different brain structures that activate when we're afraid. In fact, the amygdala and the hypothalamus are two important parts of the brain, and they're activated when we experience fear. And out of that activation, there's this complex neural network that begins to be activated, and it activates, and then it triggers stress hormones that spill out into the rest of our body. And our body then is prepared for fight or flight. Perhaps you've heard of that before. Fight or flight. And out of that, hormones, it begins to impact, get you ready for running or fighting. But what happens, if that happens again and again and again over a very short period of time, those stress hormones begin to have a negative impact on your body. Things like heart disease, GI problems, stress headaches, tension, depression, literally anything that's bad that can go on as a human being, stress and fear can make it worse. The other thing that we take a look at when we talk about fear is how it affects our behavior. One of the biggest ways that fear affects our behavior is that we tend to avoid those things that make us afraid. We tend to run away. We tend to hide from them. And when we do that, we avoid dealing with some very significant issues. The other thing that happens often is people become aggressive. And we certainly have seen that in I remember in the early days of the COVID dilemma, before even the governor put out the order the week before, Amy and I were out looking for toilet paper. How many of you remember that? Well, thank goodness somebody found the supply of toilet paper. But everybody was terrified, and there was actually reports of people getting aggressive over toilet paper. The other thing that happens in terms of behavior with fear is you begin to have this vigilance. Like you're on edge. Something horrible is about to happen. And so you're scanning your environment, trying to make sure that whatever bad is going to happen, that you're prepared for it. You're ready for it. And then as this happens again and again and again, we develop a sense of learned helplessness, where we can't control the fear, and so we just buckle down and get ready for the next thing to happen. The emotional and cognitive roots of fear have to do with our perception. And our perception is how we see, how we hear, how we perceive the fears, the things that are threats to us. And I want to say something, that perception of fear and the fear that follows is real. Sometimes we get on people's cases because they're afraid of something, and we look at it and we're like, I'm not afraid of that. And so our perception is different. But I want to tell you that when you have a perceived threat and you experience fear, that fear that you experience is very real. Now, it's entirely possible that the perception is in error. That's possible. But the fear you experience is real. And so what happens, we begin to pay attention to these threats. We begin to zero in on these threats. There's an old newspaper adage, if it bleeds, it leads. And we certainly see that in our modern media as well. The modern equivalent of that would be clickbait. And so we see these very fearful articles about all the awful things that are going on. And over time, we begin to think my well-being and possibly my very life is in danger. The other thing that happens with our cognitions when we're in fear is our ability to think clearly gets greatly diminished. The part of our brain that controls our planning, our organizing, our logic begins to slow way down. And so what happens when you experience fear is you become very poor at solving complex problems. And then social roots. We can go into all kinds of ways that fear impacts us socially, but I want to draw attention to one area in which fear applies. And that has to do with the concept of in-group, out-group. And basically how in-group, out-group, the in-group is the group that is most like you, the group that you identify with. It could be your church, it could be your family, it could be your political party, it could be your part of town, it could be your race. Whatever group is most like you, they are the ones to be trusted. And that anybody that is different from you, the out-group, is someone that is to be distrusted. And we see this fear begin to play out in a very big scale in various communities, including our own community, where we're afraid of something that is different from us. And that is a very real phenomenon, a very real fear. So looking at fear as a virus, and no, it's not literally a virus, but it mimics a virus in many ways. A virus is an infectious agent that replicates itself inside a living organism, making many copies, and then is released to infect other living organisms. And fear kind of does the same thing. If you think about it, fear infects its host, and as that person begins to dwell and think about fear, it replicates, it multiplies, and then that person goes and talks to another person, and then all of a sudden that fear is now contagious and spreads to the other person that they talk to. Interestingly, the virus, COVID, is spread through the mouth, right? Well, isn't fear sort of spread the same way? When we have somebody saying something that's pretty terrifying and scary, we share that, it spreads through the mouth. It's very interesting. But is it contagious? That is the question. Is fear contagious? And interestingly, as I was preparing for this sermon, I was looking this up, and I discovered, I didn't know this before, but there's actually, you've probably heard the expression, it smells like fear. Well, it turns out that it's literally true. That when human beings are afraid, they give off pheromones that alert other human beings that can smell those pheromones subconsciously. We're not aware of it, but that this person is afraid, and that becomes contagious. But another way that fear is contagious is a concept called emotional contagion. And in that, we experience the emotion of the person that we're watching. I'll give you an example. If I smile right now, many of you just all of a sudden had the urge to smile. That's called emotional contagion. And so fear is contagious in that way. And it's related to a strong empathy response that we have. We see this when we go to the movies. Well, when we used to go to the movies, now we'll have to turn them on our TVs. But when we watch a movie, we are so emotionally connected to... Now, we know that they're actors. We know that they're professionals paid to put on this entertainment for us. And yet, there's this ability for us to emotionally connect to this fictional character. And so there's a strong empathy response. I think God created us that way to experience that strong emotional connection with others. And then there's social media. Social media is a petri dish of fear, if you ask me. We see all kinds of fearful things that are promoted and put out there with fear. And there's a phenomenon that they're talking about, doom scrolling. And I want to read that for you. So it's, amid the coronavirus, there has been a substantial increase in people excessively checking in online or through social media to read depressing news updates. This includes aggressively receiving updates on COVID-19 infection cases and political news and crime rates and others. Experts are saying that the habit called doom scrolling makes people unnecessarily anxious, and that constantly scrolling through negative news can be toxic, especially before bedtime. Now, I have to be honest with you. I have been guilty of doom scrolling. But now that I know what it's called and it sounds so awful, I think I'm going to work on avoiding doom scrolling. I hope you will too. But this is a sermon, so I need to get into the Bible. Let's talk about what the Bible says about fear. So in the Bible, it talks about fear of people or enemies, fear of death and destruction and personal sin or transgression. And we have these different fears. So I'm going to let read some of these verses here. Psalm 13, verse 2. How long will I store up anxious concerns within me? Agony in my mind every day. How long will my enemies dominate me? Notice this anxiousness is being stored up, being held onto, and is creating this agony in the psalmist's mind, and this fear of his enemy that dominates him. And we certainly see that even in our times today, where we have people that we think of as enemies that are against us, and we are fearful of them. And they dominate our thoughts. And so even today we see that. Death and destruction. Psalm 18:4, it says, the ropes of death were wrapped around me, and the torrents of destruction terrified me. And so we're very afraid of death and destruction. And we certainly have had the opportunity to experience that in many ways over the last several months. We're also terrified of sin. So if I confess my iniquity, I am anxious because of my sin. I am anxious because of my sin. Psalm 38:18. And this is actually a good point for me to draw a distinction in that in some ways, fear can be good. And in some ways, fear can be bad. In this passage, his anxiousness leads him to confessing. And when he confesses, God is faithful and just to forgive. And so fear creates an anxiety in which leads to confession. But it's just as easily done to be afraid of thinking about sin. And so instead of thinking about sin, I choose to block it out of my mind. And so sin never crosses my mind. I don't think about it. I don't consider it. And the danger is that if I don't think about sin, then I don't avoid it and I fall into it. And so you can see that fear can lead you to two different paths depending on how you handle it. And so there is good fear. In the Bible, it talks about having a fear of God, a respect of God. In Psalm 33:18, it says, but look, the Lord keeps his eye on those who fear him and who depend on his faithful love. It's interesting that fear of God is connected to his faithful love. Proverbs 1:7, it says, "The fear of the Lord is the beginning of knowledge, and fools despise wisdom, the wisdom and discipline." In the New Testament, 1 Peter 1:17, it says, "And if you address the Father, the one who judges impartially based on each one's work, you are to conduct yourselves with fear during the time of your temporary residence." And looking at that passage in particular, it's saying that we need to conduct ourselves knowing that someday we're going to be judged for what we've done on this planet. And as a result, we should have a holy fear of God. Luke chapter 12, verses 4 through 7, it says, "And I say to you, my friends, don't fear those who can kill the body, and after that can do nothing more. But I'll show you the one to fear. Fear him who has the authority to throw people into hell after death. Yes, I say to you, this is the one to fear. Aren't five sparrows sold for 2 pennies? Yet not one of them is forgotten in God's sight. Indeed, the hairs of your head are all counted. Don't be afraid. You are worth more than many sparrows." In this passage, there's a tension. It says, fear, and then it says, don't be afraid. How is that possible? How is it possible on the one hand to fear and on the other hand to not be afraid? And in that tension, in between that, is an example of how God cares and knows what's going on. And I think that's the key. You see, God knows all things, and he knows the good and the bad, and our holy fear, our reverence, our awe for God is based on the realization that he is a holy and righteous God. But he is also a God that cares deeply about each and every one of us. And so we don't need to be afraid of the trials and tribulations that we face in this life. He also says that we're to fear men. Ephesians 6, chapter 6, verse 5, it says, "Slaves, obey your human masters with fear and trembling, in the sincerity of heart as to Christ." And so those who are in authority over us, we're to have fear and trembling. But notice, it's God, then men. And then we're supposed to fear our rulers. Romans chapter 13, verse 3 is a verse, section of scripture that we've heard a lot over the last several months. But it says in verse 3, Romans chapter 13, verse 3, "For rulers are not a terror to good conduct, but to bad. Do you want to be unafraid of the authority? Do what is good, and you will have its approval." And so in this passage, it's saying that we're to have holy reverence towards those who rule over us. And keep in mind that Paul was writing about Caesar's Rome, and that was an ungodly and unrighteous government. So we have fear of all these current events that are going on. COVID-19. I remember at the very beginning of COVID-19, I told you about the panic, the toilet paper panic. And then after that, I think people were kind of like, hey, this is kind of cool. It's kind of new, novel. It's interesting and exciting. I think I could do this for a couple weeks. Yeah, a couple weeks. Well, a couple weeks became a few weeks, became a month. And after that, people started to get kind of annoyed, maybe even a little bit aggravated. Like, I'm tired of this. I'm ready for things to go back to normal. I'm not even sure what normal is anymore. And then they went into, a stage of kind of weariness. People were just feeling really weary, tired. They were dragging. They were just feeling really down. They longed for something that was uplifting, and they're just weary. But something that I've really noticed in the last few weeks is there is a spike in fear and anxiety. And it's really, really intense. And a lot of people are struggling with that. Some other things that over the last several months, we have fear of racial tensions. We have fear of government overreach. I've heard of so many people that are terrified about what our government is doing and how it's overreaching and how they're trying to control our lives. And there's a lot of fear tied up in that. There's fear over the November elections. In a couple weeks, I turn 50. So I've experienced a number of these presidential elections. And I can tell you that every time there is fear-mongering and telling you that if you elect my opponent, it will be the end of our nation. Well, we're still here. And so while it is true that we need to be involved, we need to be aware and vote and be a part of and be good citizens, the reality is that there is a fear that is not necessary. The Bible also says to not fear. In fact, it says to fear God and not men. Remember in Luke chapter 12, verse 4, it says, I say to you, my friends, don't fear those who can kill the body, and after that do nothing more. And so we're to fear God, not men. So we're to fear God over men. And also, we're to have peace and not fear. John chapter 14, verses 25 through 27, it says, I have spoken these things to you while I remain with you, but the Counselor, the Holy Spirit, the Father will send him in my name, and he will teach you all things that I remind and remind you of everything that I've told you. Peace I leave to you, my peace I give to you. I do not give as the world gives. Your heart must not be troubled or fearful. I want to unpack that a little bit. So God has sent His Holy Spirit. And so if you are a believer in Christ, God has given you His Holy Spirit. He's put His Holy Spirit in you. And as a result of that, He is your counselor. He is your comforter. And as you learn about God's Word, the Holy Spirit will bring God's Word to your awareness, and as a result of that, you will experience peace. And so there's a couple things that are really important in that, is you need to be in God's Word. So that Word can be having a positive effect on you. And you need to trust in Christ and allow His Holy Spirit to work in your heart to bring about that peace, so that we don't have to be troubled or fearful. We also want to take a look at Philippians chapter 4, verses 6 and 7. This is our anchor verse for the message this morning. And it says in verse 6, don't worry about anything, but in everything, through prayer and petition with thanksgiving, let your requests be made known to God. And the peace of God, which surpasses every thought, will guard your hearts and minds in Christ Jesus. You know, as I meditate on that verse, I think about the idea of bringing every concern to God. And we need to be in prayer. We need to be in prayer obviously all the time, but I think especially in this time we need to be in prayer. One of the things that I'm truly, truly thankful for is the time that I've been able to spend in prayer the last few months. I've been able to spend personally more time in prayer, but one thing that I've really been energized with is that as a staff, not that we didn't pray before, we did regularly pray, but we've had the opportunity to pray even more time. And it's been a huge blessing to me. It's given me peace. It's given me hope. It's helped me get through some very difficult days. Even this last week, I wasn't able to be a part of, but I said, hey, you guys, pray for me. And you know what? God worked through those circumstances. And so we need to be praying. We need to be lifting up those petitions before the Lord. But I want you to notice something in here. It says, with thanksgiving. That is so important. You know, we can bring our concerns, our worries, our fears to God, but He also is saying that we need to be thankful. We need to have thanksgiving. It can be really hard sometimes in the midst of trials and struggles to be thankful for what you have and what you have going on. Let me give you a couple of examples. I am thankful for technology. I try to imagine what it would have been like to live 100 years ago when the pandemic hit the beginning of last century. What would have that been like? How isolated would we have been? And yet, with through technology, we have this opportunity to still connect with people. I get it. It's not as good as it being in real person. But can you imagine what that would have been like? And so I'm so thankful for the technology that we have. I'm thankful for the medical advances. You know, in times past, when plagues would hit the world, it would wipe out millions upon millions of people. And yet, we're already seeing how modern medicine has adapted and been able to treat people quicker and with greater effects. And we might even be on the cusp of having a vaccination. And this is in 7 months, you guys. This is miraculous if you think about how quickly that has happened. And so I'm thankful that we live in the times that we do. And I praise God for that. We need to remember those things that are good in our lives, even when things seem to be falling apart. John chapter 14, verses 25 and 20 through 27 says, I've spoken these things that... Second Timothy verse 1... chapter 1, verse 7. For God is not giving us a spirit of fearfulness, but one of power, love, and sound judgment. And so, God has given us a spirit of power, love, and sound judgment. So the power of God is in us. For those who are Christians who believe in Jesus Christ, the power of the Holy Spirit is in you. Trust in that power. Hold on to that power. But also, we need to love. I talked a little bit about in-group, out-group. If we just love the in-group, we're just doing what everybody else does. But Christ calls us to a higher standard. He calls us to love the out-group. And I realize that can be really hard, especially if you're afraid of that person. But there's a pretty good chance that person's afraid of you as well. And if you show love, then you become a witness to God's love, the power of God's love working in your life. And we also have sound judgment. We need to be smart. We don't need to be careless. We don't need to be foolish. We need to be smart. God gave us intelligence and wisdom. And so we need to use that wisdom to make wise choices about the things that we do. We're adopted children and not orphans in this life. And I think that's really important to recognize. For you did not receive a spirit to fall back into fear, but you received a spirit of adoption by which we cry out, Abba, Father. What a special statement. God is our Father, and He has adopted us. At the end of that, verse 17, Romans 8, 17, it says, seeing that we suffer with Him, that we may also be glorified with Him. So just because we are God's children does not mean that we'll live a life free of suffering. And we certainly are aware of that. But we will be glorified with Him. And then 1 Peter chapter 1, verses 20 through 23, it says, For He has chosen before the foundation of the world and revealed it in times to you, that through Him are the believers of God who raised Him from the dead and gave Him glory, so that your faith and hope are in God. And so we have this faith, hope, and love that we want to live out. I want to close with something that I think is so, so important. As we are a witness to the world around us, I mentioned that fear has a social component. And as Christians, we have an impact. We have an influence on the world around us. I want to talk to you for just a couple more minutes and we'll wrap things up. In Romans chapter 14, verse 1, it says, Accept anyone who is weak in the faith, but don't argue about doubtful issues. You know what? If we ever lived in a time where doubtful issues are bombarding us with such a volume There has never been a time in human history where we've been hit with so many doubtful issues. If you hear something and you think, how could that possibly be true? It's probably because it's not true. Just wait 10 hours and they'll correct themselves. But what is he saying here? Don't argue about doubtful issues. It's so easy, you guys, to get drawn into arguments about things that are doubtful. Well, if we're not to argue about doubtful things, what are we supposed to do? Romans 14:5, it says, one person considers one day to be above another day, and someone else considers every day to be the same. Let each one be fully convinced in his own mind. Recognize that. We are to be convinced in our own mind. So often we want to go around convincing everyone else. That's not what it's saying. We need to be convinced in our own mind. Verse 13, therefore, let us no longer criticize one another. Instead, decide never to put a stumbling block or pitfall in your brother's way. How many times with our words that we use do we cause another brother or sister in Christ to stumble? We can't do that. Verse 19, so then we must pursue what promotes peace and what builds up one another. Do not tear down God's work because of food. Everything is clean, but it is wrong for a man to cause stumbling by what he eats. And so what I see here is this principle that we are, as Christians, called to promote peace and to build one another up. We live in a culture that is literally tearing itself apart. Brothers and sisters, we cannot become part of that culture. We must rise above. We must live lives that promote peace and build one another up. What are the takeaways from this morning? Recognize that fear is normal and natural. Recognize that there is healthy and unhealthy ways to experience fear. And you want to maximize the healthy fear and minimize the unhealthy fear. Realize that God does not want us to live in terror, but that He wants us to be living in hope, faith, and love by the power of the indwelling Spirit in a supportive community of believers. Richland Baptist Church is that supportive community of believers for our church. Our church is not a building, you guys. It is people supporting one another. And the last thing I want you to take away is that we cannot be part of a world that is tearing itself apart. We must pursue peace and the building of one another up. Let's pray. Father God, I just want to lift up every person who is listening to this message. I thank you that you are the author of love and peace. And Lord, sometimes, if we're honest, it is really hard. It is maybe even impossible without your Holy Spirit to live in a way where we love our enemies, where we love those who we are afraid of. And yet, Lord, your word makes it very clear that we are called to do just that. And so, Lord, my prayer is that you help each one of us to live this truth out, that we would be a light that would overcome the fear that has gripped our society. Help us to be that light. Help us to be that example. I pray these things in Jesus' name. Amen. Well, I want to thank you for watching this service and this sermon. And I want to point you to our website, richlandbaptistchurch.org. And on that page, there's a We Are Here For You tab that you can click on to get more info or to follow up. Maybe as you were listening to this message, you were inspired and you want to know more about what it means to be a Christian, we would love nothing better than to be able to talk with you and share with you what that means. Maybe you need some prayer and you just need somebody to pray with. Maybe you felt alone and isolated. Maybe you've been afraid. We want to pray with you. We want to be able to help you as you walk through these difficult times. The other option is you could text hello to 509-215-1839. And you can share what it is that you would like to have us pray for or any other way that we can help you. And so I encourage you to take a look at that. And so I thank you and God bless you as we go into the world that is dark. Amen.